content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in, that's your problem.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spiritually Raw, and thank you very much for joining in this great awakening movement to wake up as many people worldwide and help them on their path to spiritual freedom and global peace. And guess what? We really appreciate the support you guys are giving us on YouTube and Patreon. Thank you for sharing, commenting, and subscribing. It really does make all the difference.
It does.
And it helps our channel grow and supporting our guests. And speaking of guests, we got a great one on for you today. Yeah?
Absolutely. All right. Let's welcome Bill Protzman. He's on a mission to raise awareness of the power of music as self-care. He's the world's leading expert on the power of music for physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Bill holds magna cum laude degrees in piano performance and creative writing, and has led a very successful IT consulting practice for more than 30 years. Bill launched Music Care Inc. to teach and advocate for practical ways music can be used for self-healing care. He's been also recognized by the National Council for Behavioral Health with an Award of Excellence in 2014, which is basically the industry's equivalent to winning an Oscar.
Is that right?
Yes,
that's
like
cool.
Huge.
That's cool.
He's the author of More Than Human, The Value of Cultivating the Human Spirit in Your Organization.
Okay, so let's bring on Bill to the show.
Hey, Bill. Hey guys.
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh. Really good. You know, it's amazing to me how good I feel right now in spite of the worldwide stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Wonderful.
And you know, I have my down days, but today, you know, whatever, right now, the moment, live in the moment. Hey, this is a great moment, you guys.
You feel good. So what are you attributing to that?
Oh, gosh, I wish I could put an answer to that one. It's just, you know, what you bring to your day and bringing authenticity. Hey, sometimes it's not so great. Sometimes it's pretty great. So authentically today, hanging out with you guys right now, this feels really good.
Yeah, our show has that effect, so thank you for that, man.
And right on, there you go. It's working.
And likewise, congratulations on your Award of Excellence, Oscar. That's huge.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. That came up in Facebook the other day, and we watched the whole sequence. I'm on stage for all of maybe 2.5 minutes. But it reminded me of how important this work is, you know, and to be part of that. It's nice to get honored for that, but there's so many people out there who are using holistic tools. They're using music. They're using whatever. There's so much available to us, you guys. So let's encourage that, because right now we need it. We need it, you know, to adjust us mentally and emotionally and physically, of course, and even spiritually. We've got to be in that spiritual lane, or we're just going to get flushed away. So,
how's music been helping you through everything for like the past 30 days, 45 days?
Well, music is so much part of what I do. So there's always a song spinning in my head, like even right now. And we've been rewatching. This is ironic, but before the whole pandemic started, we've been rewatching Monk. And if you haven't seen this show, Tony Shalhoub plays this detective who's obsessed with how the world is going to hurt him. Let's just say that. So his theme song, written by Randy Newman, and it's just been buzzing. It's like it's an earworm. It gets in there. So it reminds me, you know, that we do need to be aware of what's going on, but also that there's some humor in that, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of humorous to be so scared, if you will, paranoid, and to make fun of that is the purpose of Monk, right?
So,
I see what you're saying.
You know?
So you're a piano prodigy, and how long have you been doing this? I mean, how long have you been playing piano for? And when did the prodigy thing start?
You're very generous. So, I think that anybody could be a piano prodigy. I was started at 3. Mom started me on piano. And if you just keep at it, you know, you get your 10,000 hours and you get pretty good.
10,000 hours. That's right? A long time.
It's like flight time.
That's a long time.
I had an early start, right? I was at it in an hour a day and it adds up, you know. So I got to be pretty good. I wouldn't call myself a real live prodigy, not like Mozart or any of those people. Those are amazing people out there. But you're very gracious. And I did have a good time with it once more. Played a concerto with an orchestra. I mean, did all this stuff. And I've concertized for a long, long time. So it's always been in me. It's like, you know, the piano is sitting right here beside me right now. behind the camera, you can't see it as a keyboard. I'm like in music a lot.
Can you play something right now?
Oh, I wish I could. I'm actually equipped to do that, but I'm not set up. The keyboard's like covered with all my office stuff.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But here's what I'll do. I can put some links in the show notes because I'm on Spotify and iTunes and CD Baby and everywhere, and Radio Airplay is playing me worldwide. So I'd love to give your listeners access to that. It's really easy to do. So let's put it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
People, like, go find me, listen, because it's fun to know that people are listening to you. You know, that's so gratifying
for
us.
So do you like sing and dance and act and everything, or is piano just your thing?
You must be talking about my wife.
She's
a threat. Singer, dancer, actor. We've actually worked together, and you can see that video online too. But no, I mean, I can be forced to sing, and I have done that in public, like in a paid performance. I've actually sung for people, but it's a little bit crazy. It's not my lane, so I use it for humor rather than for like conveying a message.
Now, when
unless
you write
messages, hey, you know,
when you write your music, is it for your own works or is it for also for others? Do people contract you to do that also?
Oh,
for
good
them?
Question. No, I basically just compose for myself. I was involved with a movie project a while back and did a bunch of like test stuff for them. But in the entertainment business, to be able to get somebody to play and actually use your work and sing it, oh, that would be that's the dream, right? For all of us, that is the total dream. Yeah.
So, what is music care?
Oh, music care is using music for self-care, just like we use all the other things that we do for self-care. And you guys are in this world, right? You know how this works.
Yeah.
And music is this untapped modality that's always been there for us, but we need to bring it out of the background and use it in the foreground so that it becomes a tool more than just something that's our soundtrack. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So does it like kind of like when you're playing the music, it hits like part of your,
let's
call it your chakras, if you would, to try to relate it to like a spiritual thing. It hits a certain chakra for you and kind of tunes that for you. Is that what's happening?
Does it hit a specific chakra or does it hit all of the chakras?
Well, so it depends on which window you're looking at. So the chakra people have their evidence and the medical community has its evidence and music therapy has its evidence and musicians have our own evidence, but it's more in how skillfully you use it. It's going to work on you, right? So we all know that music's going to make us resonate or entrain or do all kinds of things. So the question is, what's the best music for you? And how do you engage that consciously? So you can do this actively. So if I need to go out and be resilient, for example, I've got my resilience music. And when I listen to that, just imagining it in your mind, it triggers all of the stuff that you need to be resilient for me. So if you have your resilience music, your gratitude music, or your integrity music, or your relaxation music, whatever. We know how to do this. But to make that an online practice instead of just one where you're sitting in silence and allowing the music to wash over you, to take it out into the world, that's new. And you can do that. We can all do that.
You know, I've seen videos where they've taken Alzheimer patients that literally couldn't remember their own name, their child's name, any of their grandchild, virtually nothing. And all of a sudden they would put a headset on and start playing music and something triggered in their brain and it shifted everything. And maybe it took it back to their childhood or a point in their life, but they were able to get all their cognitive impairment back. What is your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's so amazing. I've seen that happen playing for people who are in Alzheimer's care, memory care. When you play live, you see the effect on people's faces change more profoundly if they're coming from a memory issue or a dementia issue back to real life. But the movie you're talking about is called Alive Inside, and it's a marvelous movie. And I think you can see it on YouTube. You can certainly see clips. And you're absolutely right. You watch people who have literally no effect put on the headphones and then come alive. And
it's
they're
incredible.
Singing and dancing and talking like we talking with each other.
Yeah.
And that is one of the amazing powers of music because it gets into the part of your brain where all of those really basic core memories reside, just above the brainstem where the hippocampus and the amygdala and all that is. So that's that part of us, the lizard brain or the croc brain, some people say.
Yeah.
That's the part of us that's been keeping us alive for a long, long time. That's where fight, flight, freeze, feed, or mate come from. So we're triggered by sound and by sight and by smell to all those things. And that's basic part of us. Oh, that's so beautiful because if you can get in there, you're like alive inside with music, you can wake it up and bring people back to that.
It's so beautiful. So do you think that that would work with every Alzheimer's patient or is there just a specific reason why it's working with some?
I think you need a medical professional to answer that. My anecdotal evidence, my experience, is that I've tried that in a number of environments. I have a friend whose wife is in care right now, and we go in there and play music on like a cell phone or something, and she can hear it, but she's not responding. And who knows what the medical reason is for that. One of the tragedies, I think, of memory care is that at some point or another, we just sort of give up. And instead of taking a patient right through the whole thing and actually investigating them and staying with them and maybe doing functional MRI and stuff like that, we let them go instead of trying to figure out what's happening. And so when you see a live inside, it looks like a miracle, but there's probably a good scientific explanation for that that's even deeper than the one that I've given right now. But we just don't know. And it's so cool that there's research. You know, people are trying to figure out.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I was listening the other day when I went for a run, and there's actually there's brainwave music, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's specific. Is it like a specific, I don't even know, how do they say it?
Is it tuned in, is it called
megahertz or something?
Yeah, so we're talking about binaural beats. And they're cool because they stimulate the left, right, left, right, left, right. And it sounds like wah, 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 wah. But if you listen to them in stereo, what's actually happening is you're getting a bilateral stimulation. The brain, left and right hemispheres, are talking to each other. And binaural beats stimulate that. Well, so does singing the Om. Like if you're singing the Om with a bunch of other people and you're getting that resonance and all those overtones, that's like a bilateral stim too. So now we're talking chakra stuff, right? Because the chakras are the first place where we sort of got the three brain idea, where it's not all in your head. It's happening in your heart and your gut. Well, we're lining up all the chakras right there, right? So welcome the sound, because that can help raise kundalini. It can do all kinds of amazing things. But you've got to be able to welcome it. And yes, Jay, it's related to hertz. So there are certain levels that are more cerebral and certain levels that are more emotional and certain levels that are more gut physical, like grounded, first chakra kind of stuff. And you can play around with those and figure out which ones work for you. And Brainwave that you mentioned, great company, because they've got it all laid out. You go to Brainwave and you can pick up, first of all, their beats and listen to them. And secondly, the explanations for why they work and how most people feel this megahertz versus that megahertz. And it's marvelous stuff. It's really beautiful that the science is out there.
Is there a number, megahertz, if you would, that's like that people should stay away from, especially in times like this where they're trying to get, or they're trying to have these breakthroughs, and now more than ever, you know, obviously people are like,
Stay away. Why would they stay away?
Not stay away, like stay away from a certain type of megahertz of sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I hope I'm asking that right.
No, your question is apt because, first of all, there is, and there's research on this. It turns out that folks who work around large mechanical rumbling are damaging themselves. So we're talking about like the folks on an aircraft carrier launching airplanes. The sound of a jet's engines is in that range, where there's large mechanical machinery and manufacturing plants where that rumble is just all the time. Sometimes if you look like we did, we live near a train station and you hear the diesel engines idling, that rumble is not good for us. And when you start to think about that, it's in the same frequency, the same sort of megahertz as a kick drum. And we love a kick drum. I love EDM. It's great music. But if you are around that 24/7, it starts to destroy stuff that you don't want destroyed. And that's mental, it's emotional, but it's cellular. There's a cellular problem with that kind of sound over time. So yeah, be aware of that. And enjoy the dance, enjoy the rave. Owl City was amazing. I had ear protection on. I could feel my internal organs jumping around. And the music was amazing. You know, but I wouldn't do that 24/7.
I got you.
So how has music changed your life?
Well, other than keeping me alive and keeping me sort of in the lane, what music has done is to expand my emotional envelope. As a musician, you have to be able to feel it all the feels, otherwise you can't give a convincing performance. So what music did for me was to invite me to bring all those feels into regular life. When I wasn't at the piano, how did I feel in this situation, in that situation, and to help me develop a vocabulary for being able to express, convey those feelings to you, right? Instead of just being this locked up sort of insular emotional hairball, I can now say, you know what, that really made me angry. And I really can mean it and feel what that's like and have it be all right. And music is a safe way to play with that. You know, to be able to unpack my anger, I can do that to music. So to sit there and be with my anger and my music, to let it come up and see how it feels and how I respond, That's a huge invitation to music that I don't think a lot of us are taking right now. We're okay with joy and sadness, but oftentimes something comes up and we use joy music to stuff the anger, the fear that we really ought to feel, you know, and experience. We don't have to do anything with it, but we can take music as that objectification, say, okay, that's Bill, he's feeling angry. Oh, that feels terrible. But it's passing, right? And you let the music let those feelings flow through you to leave you free to choose something else to put in their place. And joy is often the thing I go to too. So I've got anger music and sadness music and fear music and joy music when I need to come back to joy and I'm done with anger, fear, and sadness. Does that
What is your, absolutely. The music that you play, what genre is it in?
Oh, you know, I grew up as a classical piano player and I've learned since then, sort of backwards. I started with ragtime. So I'm catching up on jazz, but you kind of have to play it all, you know, pop music, whatever. When I was doing my time at Nordstrom, everybody wanted to hear what was popular, and so I'd be on top of that. So I pretty much play everything. I'm not great at jazz, but I love improvisation, and it's fun to do that, and the blues and whatever. It's just, it's all there, you guys. It's such an amazing thing.
Man, you're really, awesome. Really passionate about what you're doing. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, I want to find out about your volunteering as a music teacher for the homeless. So I think I'm sure everybody's going to want to hear that. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today.
All right, everybody, thank you very much, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. We are here with Bill Protzman here, and we wanted to get right back into this with you about, now you were instructing the homeless, right? Is that what was going on there? So what? Tell us about that, and what even got you to that place?
You know, I was part of a collaborative, a group of people who got together, and nonprofits and individuals and community members and government agencies to try to serve veterans in San Diego County, where I live, in a more coordinated way. And there were a lot of homeless veterans. So one of the agencies invited me to come and teach a music class for their clients, which included veterans and civilians, homeless people. And I did that for about 10 years, 11 years. And it's so wonderful to work with at-risk people because at-risk people are open. They're ready for whatever it is you have.
Yeah.
And the results of the music class, the folks, the social workers in the nonprofits would tell me, oh my gosh, the clients are so much more focused and peaceful and ready to get down to whatever the activity is that they were doing, whether that's working on finding a job or applying for grants or... It's complicated being homeless, you guys. Finding a house is not an easy thing when you're homeless.
Yeah,
so
true.
The music class helped focus and center these people, and we had all kinds of diagnoses in there. I wasn't privileged to know them all, but I'm still friends with a guy who is schizoaffective. And the effect that regular music has on him makes him nuts. But if he stacks up those binaural beats we were talking about, Jay, he can layer those and maybe six or seven of them running at the same time. Or if he uses metal, like heavy metal music, that will dial him down to a level where he can talk like this.
That's interesting. Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
It's kind of like how some people have coffee and it makes them tired, right? Maybe that inverse effect.
Huh.
Yeah, and music, there's no right music. Like your music that you love, April, is your powerful music. And Jay, the music you love is your power music.
Which is not the same music.
It's not the same music.
At
and that's okay.
all.
Mine's a lot better and more intelligent.
I definitely would not go that far.
Of course it, yes, of course it is. But April's works better.
always.
That's right.
So how when it comes to suicide prevention, or somebody's like right there, how... would you or your music or music in general be able to help people?
There's so much insight in this question. We've been scared of music, I think, for a long time. People used to say, no, don't sing that. You know, like rap is going to encourage people to kill people.
Right.
But there's a need to go deep. And music can go deep without any side effects. Instead of deadening those emotions, it lets you feel them. So when I was feeling the most suicidal I'd ever felt in my life, I put on a piece of music that really did it for me, that really let me be with whatever the feelings were.
Do you remember what that music was?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'll send you for the show notes. It's a piece of classical piano music, but I heard it for the first time and I thought it was New Age. It's an Etude Tableau by Rachmaninoff, and I'll send you the opus and whatever, because it hasn't got a name.
Thank you.
You know, but it's just this quiet sort of melancholy music that repeats, and it's got an arc. It starts out slow and low, and then it moves up to this giant peak of emotion, and then it tails off again. And I put that on and just sat in the chair and listened to that, and I don't know, I was there for hours, and I was, you know, like crying like I'd never cried before. But when you let those emotions come up in safety that way, they open up the possibility for other things to come in. So you're not replacing them, you're just opening that space and saying, okay, all these emotions that I don't want, let's go. And what came to me was inspiration and power. And at that particular moment in my life in 2007, a new meaning, a new purpose. And you mentioned that I started Music Care. It took a few years, but I finally put a stake in the ground and said, nope, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it professionally as a business. We're going to organize and have tools and applications and everything, and we're going to teach people how to do this well.
Because it's so did important. That spring, was that a springboard from your own personal experience?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you had that, you had that music, when in the suicidal moments, if you would, was it
comfort you?
Was it like an instant snap? Like when you heard it, was it like a breakthrough like that? Or like how was... What was that like, that journey?
We all want that moment gratification. That moment lasted a few hours, lasted several hours, because when I started listening, it was early evening, sun was still up, and when I finally stopped and woke up there in the chair with the music still playing in my ears, it was several hours later, it was full dark. And I had a lot to unpack. And I really believe, Jay, that we all do, and that we haven't done a great job of unpacking safely. So there's a lot of pressure in there. And you can see this on social media. And I think in the world in general, people are on a hair trigger. But to be able to use music intelligently to let those feelings come up and flow, that's what we're all doing when we go to concerts. You know, we're there for a reason. And a lot of the music, if you listen online, all the people who are making music right now, which is wonderful in the world, there's a lot of that melancholy music coming up. People feeling their sadness, feeling their separation. And that is a beautiful thing, because we're letting those feelings come up so they can be replaced by other feelings.
Early on in the show, yeah. Bill, you had mentioned that when we talked about you being a prodigy, you said, you know, anybody could do that. Do you really believe that? Anybody really do that? Or do you believe there are people that are born with, i.e. gifts like yourself, that can just, at 3 years old, kind of just...
And I have a question that kind of leads right into that. So, were you forced into piano and then you gradually learned to love it? Or were you like, you know what? I kind of like this gig.
You know, it took years. I was forced into it. I mean, not forced, but when you're 3 years old, you're not going to resist.
You're forced. Yeah.
Play the piano. So it took a few years. And in fifth grade, I finally found ragtime, and a movie called The Sting came out. And so ragtime was popular. It was on pop radio and I could play it. So I was popular too. And that sort of helped, because it gave me a reason to say, hey, people actually like what I do. I'm not just playing for Elise and the Minuet in G and whatever else people play. You know, I had something people wanted to hear. And that taught me about the connection, like the interaction, the transaction between the performer and the audience, and to pay attention, because the audience is so cool. Mm-hmm. And you can watch, whether it's one person or 1,000, you can watch and see what's happening in the audience. And I'm going to address your prodigy question now, because a lot of people who are gifted and seriously gifted, they're playing incredible music at 5 years old, or playing the guitar with their hands and the bass with their feet, or whatever they do. I mean, there's incredible talent out there, just so far beyond. And a lot of times, and I'm going to say this carefully because I've been in school with a lot of these people, as talented as you are, your ability to communicate outside of the concert hall is vastly limited. It's like all your skill got focused on your instrument. And so to be able to step away from your instrument and be a real human being and have a conversation like we're having now is not something that generally goes along with prodigious talent, right? You have to unpack that. I'm thinking of a guy in the UK who can play anything. The moment he hears it, he can play it back in whatever key you want. And he's amazingly talented as a piano player, but he has Asperger's syndrome. So it's very difficult for him to be a human being, like in the real world with all the rest of us sort of normal human beings. Now, he probably would have no trouble talking to me because I get him on a musical level, And when you communicate that way, you don't even need words. Hmm. So the game is not so much how talented you are, but how much we can encourage people to engage, whether that's singing or listening or maybe playing the drum or picking up an instrument or even beginning to learn an instrument as an adult. It, you know, 10,000 hours goes by in a hurry.
10,
and all you need
hours.
Is persistence.
Man, oh yeah. Man. Tell me about these online courses you developed. Is that for those people? So talk about that if you can.
Yeah, so I have a very specific kind of person in mind. I don't do funnels. I don't spam. I don't do any of that stuff. So when you find me online, you're going to find a lot of copy because I want to make sure that we're engaging at a place that we both agree upon. And unless I can talk to you face-to-face like this, mm-hmm. the only way that we can communicate is via words. So quest.musiccare.net has a bunch of information. It's kind of like, I mean, I visit a lot of spiritual sites, right? And spiritual sites are walls of text because that's how you communicate.
Yeah.
So I've done my best to scale that back. At quest.musiccare.net, you can get free stuff. You can book stuff, a conference with me. You can. There's just all kinds of stuff at that portal, which is also the landing page to the course. And the course is it's active learning instead of passive. So I just don't lecture at you. You have work to do. And that work is to unpack your own music and find out what richness is in it for you as you deal with emotions like grief or sadness or happiness or whatever. So you expect to work, and you can expect it to be interactive. You can expect it to be what they call active learning, is a gamified, mentored environment where we work together through your progress. And that's new. I think that's the way to support this sort of music as a self-care tool, rather than just saying, listen to my videos or use my music. This is a partnership. We have to work together on it.
Before nice. Before you get to your book a bit and then where people can go ahead and buy that, can you let us know, as a musician, once you're a musician in one thing, does that make it easier to learn in other instruments, or are they completely different from that?
Oh my gosh. You know, I wish I was a multi-instrumentalist. I've played a bunch of them, but I don't think that just proficiency at like wiggling your fingers on the piano for me hasn't translated over to typing. I don't type. it's totally strange, you guys. But other people I know can pick up and play the guitar or the violin or the cello or anything with string instruments that has that hand position. They're awfully good at it. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing to me. I'm in such awe. So I'm not sure if there's a translation, but certainly people who are brilliant can put their mind to anything and just make it happen. Like Tim Ferriss, there's a great example of a guy who can do anything. And he just brings his focus to it and does it, whether it's tango dancing or weightlifting or, you know, the 4-hour work week.
Yeah. Right on.
More
Than Human, the value of cultivating the human spirit in your organization. Tell us a bit about that, and where can people get a hold of that?
So this little book came out of some work with a volunteer collaborative, again with veterans. We were investigating spiritual health and moral injury. And the committee did its work, and then I took it on and made it into a book. And sales from the book, of course, benefit the San Diego Veterans Coalition, in part because I want to give back from everything that I do to help veterans. So the point of the book is, hey, what spiritual practices are there that we can engage in an organizational way that work? And the research is that spiritual best practices like gratitude and kindness and respect and integrity really work well, and businesses that and organizations that use those turn out to be have a competitive edge. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you know? Makes perfect sense to me, right? So that's about how to engage those spiritual best practices in your organization at sort of a fundamental level. How's your mission statement look? How's your guiding principles look? Are the fundamentals of integrity and honesty and gratitude and whatever, there's lots of them, you think of many of them, are those part of your organization, and how? How do you practice those? How do you do those things, you know, like in your daily work? So it's not a long book, but it's full of how-to, and I think it's a relevant book right now, because without those best spiritual practices, you can run off the rails pretty quick, and your organization can become greedy, or income inequality right now, and we have to be thinking of one another in a more holistic way, instead of just taking from one set of people so that we can, you know, improve our own financial status or strength. No, wait a minute. we got to figure out how to balance the equation here. And spiritual best practices will do that in a way that blesses everybody and doesn't take from anyone.
Amen, nice. Brother. Amen. That's excellent. Bill Protzman, everybody. Thank you very much for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed it, because we definitely did on this end. So yeah, it's good to have you on. Yeah.
It's no surprise that he's excellent at what you do, because you speak with such passion and compassion from your heart. That I mean, it's also well connected.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's much really love nice. To you, man. Really, really good stuff. It's good stuff. I really
do great energy.
Keep thank it's you really guys. Nice.
Yeah, keep fighting that good fight. Yeah, for sure.
Way to start the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah, thanks, blessings.
Likewise.
And blessings to you also. Thank you everybody for tuning in today. Right.
That's my line.
That's her line. So if you want to start, you want to take us out.
Thank you everybody for tuning in, and remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.